Hello and welcome to another 9-minute Bible study. Our starting point, Acts chapter 10, and we will be starting with verse 24. Before we read the verse, let's see where we have been. In the first part of Acts chapter 10, Cornelius sees this vision. The vision, the angel, he tells him to go send men and bring Simon Peter to Joppa, and he'll tell you what you need to hear. In the second part of the chapter, Simon Peter is on the roof of the house of Simon the Tanner. He sees the vision of unclean animals coming down, the voice saying, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Peter saying, "Not so, Lord, I have never done this before in my life." And then the voice saying, "What God has cleansed, you don't call unclean." In the next part of the chapter, Peter meets men who are going to escort him to Caesarea, to Cornelius, a Gentile, a Roman centurion's house. Instead of saying no because of the Old Testament law, the Holy Spirit told Peter to go, doubting nothing. And Peter has done this. As we start this lesson, Simon Peter is entering into the house of Cornelius. He really still doesn't know exactly what's going to happen or what is about to take place. Now let's establish one other thing. A group of Jewish brethren had accompanied Peter on the trip. This is a vital piece of information as we go forward. These men, they don't realize it yet. They are going to be witnesses of what the Lord is going to do in Cornelius' household. If Peter went alone, then it would not have met the biblical standard of, "In the eyes of two or three shall any truth be established." These brethren who went along with Peter, they're going to be just as vital, because they're going to establish the witness and the testimony of what happened. And the fact that there was more than one witness, again, extremely important, because this creates independent, verifiable evidence that this is the work of the Lord. With that in mind, let's start with verse 24. "And tomorrow, after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends." So Peter is not walking into a room with just Cornelius. He's walking into the room with Cornelius' family and his close personal friends. This is a pretty big group that Peter's walking into. Verse 25. "And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him." Now, from the point of view of Cornelius, this is a man God told me to specifically bring here. He must be an important person. From the point of view of Peter, "What is this guy doing? He just fell down at my feet." Keep in mind, Peter really doesn't know yet what's going on. Verse 26. "But Peter took him up, saying, 'Stand up. I myself also am a man,'" which is the smart and correct thing for Peter to do. "I'm just as human as you are. You do not fall down and worship me. There is only one who we worship." It's in the book of Revelation. Worship God. Let's keep going. Verse 27. "And as he talked with him," small talk, "Hi, my name is Cornelius. My name is Peter. This is my visiting party. This is everyone who's come to hear you." "He found all the people there in one room." Verse 28. "And he said unto them, 'You know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation.'" We have established that as we've went along, a good God-fearing Jew like Peter is not to associate, even in a social setting, with any of the Gentiles. It was just not allowed. If there was any contact between Jews and Gentiles, it was officials of the nation of Israel dealing with the conquering Romans on an official governmental level. On a social level, it just didn't happen. The two groups didn't mingle. On religious issues, it definitely didn't happen. It was strictly against the Old Testament law. But God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Now, Peter is beginning to understand the revelation of the vision. It's a partial revelation at this point, and not a complete revelation. Partial. I am not to call any man common or unclean. In other words, Peter is thinking, I must be able to deal with Gentiles. And that's all the point where he's at right now. I can deal with and associate with Gentiles. It has not yet crossed his mind about preaching the gospel to Gentiles. That second part of the revelation is about to come. Verse 29. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, or without asking, why am I here? As soon as I was sent for. I asked therefore, for what intent have ye sent for me? Why am I here? Legitimate question, very legitimate, to which Cornelius says the following. Verse 30. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, the angel, and said, Cornelius, your prayers is heard, and your alms in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon the tanner by the seaside, who, when he comes, shall speak unto you. Verse 33. Immediately therefore I sent to you, and you have well done that you are come. Now therefore we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. In short, Cornelius, he briefly explained the situation that he lived through. How the angel said, go bring Peter to your house and he will explain everything to you. And Cornelius did exactly this. Now here's Peter. We do not know what he was thinking, but let's take a good guess. His jaw probably dropped to the ground in a symbolic sense. He has just been told to preach about Jesus in the eyes of the Gentiles. We are now at the edge of one of the big moments in church history. And we'll pick up with this in our next lesson.